Good morning. That was really loud and impressive. Good morning, everybody. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad to be here again. This is the best place to be, right? This is the best place to be. There's no better place. I can't imagine a better place, but I echo the prayer that Stephanie just offered to God, that He is the God that is in control of everything, right? Even when we're not comfortable, He is still the God that's in control. He is still the God that's in charge, and I am grateful and excited that I can follow Him, right? That I can submit to that authority, that I don't have to be in charge to try to figure it out, right? Does anybody in here like to be in charge? Or I was going to say control, but that's probably not. I'm going to call you out, Tony. Tony's raising his hand like, yes, I do. He's a teacher, so he likes that. That's a strange place for me to be, but I mean this place here today, this is the place to be. But I am glad and I am grateful that I don't have to be in charge, that God is in charge, right? I think we can all agree with that. That's a good place to be. That's a good place to sit. We're going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount, right? We're in Matthew chapter 6, so if you want to go ahead and get there while we're getting started, we're going to read that in just a moment, but We've been following this passage that Jesus preached, that Jesus spoke, that He prayed, that we can learn from, that we can get an understanding from. So I want to just real quick get a drink, because my voice is being weird right now. Excuse me. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read the whole prayer here, starting in verse 9. And it says, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We've been walking through this prayer. We've been walking through this guide, this kind of template that Jesus gave them when the disciples were asking how to pray. We've been walking through it, and we've been learning what it means and kind of an understanding of where we should be in it. But today we're going to be focusing on verse 11, and it says, give us this day our daily bread. There's a lot there. Chris made a good joke last week about preaching on like 11 words, I think is what he said, And it's strange. I was sharing with Chris, it's strange just to try to hammer out one thing out of one sentence, right? Give us this day our daily bread. And then we just close and I walk off the stage, right? It's weird to try to stay focused on this one thing, but we're going to try to focus in on what this means for us, what it looks like for us, and what Jesus was trying to teach us through this. So I'm going to start off today. Does anybody in here like bread at all? Anybody? A couple of people do with me. My mom is raising her hand and smiling back there. And this is a trait that Clint's got proof back there, same as mine. My mom instilled in me an idea to love bread. So like if you go to a Mexican restaurant, right, you eat all the tortillas you can, and then your food comes. And you're like, just go ahead and box it up, I guess, right? When I was younger, on like really special occasions, this is going back a few years, but we would go to this place called Steak and Ale. Anybody remember that place? They brought out some pretty awesome bread all the time, and I just remember like feeling like I gorged myself on the bread, right? Or like there's a couple of steak houses right here on 29th that offer bread, right? And so whenever we go places, we like to eat bread, right? Is anybody else on board with that? There's a couple of head nods going. So I'm going to give you all a quick small story from my life. I asked permission from my wife to share this story, so it's okay. When we were first married, my incredible wife was trying to do something special for me. So when I got home from work, she had dinner prepared for us, right? And this is how weird the story is. I don't even remember what the dinner was, okay? I don't know what it was. I don't care what it was. That's not the point of the story. But it could have been steak. It could have been whatever. But she had dinner prepared, right? So I come in and I sit down at the table, and it's all done. And you could tell she'd been working, and she was trying to do something to honor me or show me, like, she did this for me. It was a kind act out of her heart. And we sit down, and I'm not eating. And she looks at me kind of like I'm crazy, and she's like, "Are you going to eat? I made this meal for you." And I'm just looking at her, and she's like, "Why aren't you eating?" And we're fresh into this marriage thing, okay? So this is, we didn't cover this in marriage counseling, but this is where, and I'm sitting there, and she goes, "Will you please eat your food?" And I said, "You can't eat without bread." And so that was brilliant of me, by the way. A very brilliant comment to make. And so there may have been some tears shed. There may have been like, I missed the point. I didn't get it. But in my world, in my growing, like bread was a part of the meal, right? Bread was always there. It was something that was just a part. When I used to stay at my grandparents' house when I was real little, like at the breakfast table, the toaster was on the table, and there was a loaf of home pride wheat bread right there. And you ate the loaf of bread with breakfast, right? And there were eggs and biscuits and gravy and all kinds, but you always had bread. And so in my brilliance, in my brilliant understanding, when I got married, I decided to call my wife out for not having bread on the table for me, okay? It was weird. And I had to apologize, and I still have to go back and go, man, I was really just not even seeing the point of what was going on here. But bread is like, it's something that we see, and we like, in my world, I see it as part of a meal, right? This is something that we do together. This, we eat, we want bread, we need things. And it really, like, it didn't matter if I had bread on the table that night, because it was probably a whatever on my plate, full course meal. And I was only concerned about this one little aspect, right? I kind of missed the point. But when we're reading through this prayer, when Jesus is teaching this, that really has nothing to do with this passage except the thought of what bread instills in our mind, right? I'm just trying to paint a picture of what it looks like, or the way I envision bread, right? It's important to me. I like bread with things. I like to, whatever kind of bread, I like to eat bread. Why? Because it's just something that I did from the time I was little. And so that's where I feel, that's where I land when I read this passage here. So, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And when Jesus is teaching us that, what he's trying to show us, the imagery, the picture that he's trying to paint, is that God is in control of all of this. He is our Father. He is the good one that is going to take care of us. And he even cares about these type things, right? He even cares about whether or not we're eating bread, right? When you think about this passage, when you're reading, we've painted this picture of Abba, Father. You remember Chris talked about that a few weeks ago, right? Like Daddy, Father, that kind of thing. And so we're starting off the prayer with like, this is our Dad, this is our Father, he wants to take care of us. And then we jump into the hallowed be your name thing. So he's our Dad, but he's also set apart as something way better than anything we could ever imagine. And in their culture, I've read this like 25 times this week. But this is how the Jewish people were starting prayers. And it would say, "Blessed art thou, Lord our God," right? And so they're acknowledging him as their Lord. They're saying, "Blessed is he." They're starting it with Father. And then they go, "King of the universe who brings bread from heaven." So their understanding of this is yes, he is their Father. Yes, he is their Daddy. But he's also the King of the universe. He is the one who holds everything together, and everything is in his hands. And if he is in control, if he's got it all, but he's also my Father, he's set apart, he's something to do, but he also wants to take care of me. He also wants to wrap his arms around and offer me bread, right? What do I need from him? This is what I need from him. So whenever we're reading this passage, when we read this prayer, I said I'm going to try to focus just on that. But it all started at the beginning when we're acknowledging God as who he was. And God is who he is, and he is the King of the world who holds all things together. And if we don't start in that place, if we don't start with him being the King of the world, if we don't start with him being in charge and holding all things and guiding all things for his glory, then we miss this part. If he isn't the King, if he is not in charge, then we miss this part. And so I think this is where... It's weird for us in our day and time because I asked the question, who likes to be in control? And one of the things when Stephanie was praying, she was talking about people being afraid for politics and people being afraid for sicknesses and people. And is anybody hearing anything about that in the current climate at all? Politics or sicknesses? No? I've heard a little bit about it, but like this world is crazy, right? There's all these things happening. There's all these things. And we get afraid and we get fearful and we step back and we want to be in control. And so we try to assert ourselves into that position. But I think this passage leads us to a place where we have to step back and go, I'm not in control of this. I am not in charge of this. You are in charge. So I want to keep my right place with you, God. I want you to be the king of the world. And I'm going to be back here and I'm going to be your servant. I choose you to be the king of the world. And when you're the king of the world, you're going to take care of me. You're going to look after me. You're going to offer me what I need for today. Give us this day our daily bread. It didn't say, Jesus didn't say, ask God to supply you with all the wealth that you will ever need, right? He didn't say, ask God to supply you with all the food that you will ever need. Give us this day our daily bread. Does that put us in a different position with God where He is in charge? Yeah, it should. He is in charge of everything. It doesn't matter what I do with my life. It doesn't matter. Let me back step because some people could take that out of context. I do need to work hard at what I do, right? But it doesn't matter any wealth, any stuff that I could build up. That isn't the point. The point is Jesus being the king of the world, right? It doesn't matter what my life looks like as far as my job and my bank account and my this and my... None of that matters. What matters is where do I put myself in relationship to who Jesus is? When I'm reading this passage and Jesus is talking to these Jewish people around him, right? So he's following kind of some of these guidelines that they followed where they acknowledged God as their father, but they all also acknowledged him as the king of the universe, right? And he's preaching to them. And so when you go back and you read in the Old Testament, like the Israelite people, when they got pulled out of bondage of Egypt, what happened when they got out in the wilderness? They did what? Did they try to be in control again? It strikes me as really strange because they were pulled out of slavery. They were pulled out of bondage. They were pulled out of just the turmoil of their life. And they get out there and God is in control. And God has performed all these miracles. And in their mind, they want to go back to an imaginary form of control. They thought in their bondage that they were in control. They thought it was better for them to be in that place than to be out and free. That's a scary place to be. And what does God offer them? What does He offer them in the wilderness? He offers them manna from heaven, right? Daily. He is taking care of them. He is the one that provides. He is the one that looks after His children. But we live in this place, we live in this world, and we like to step back into that imaginary world of control, right? Right? We are lost. We are dead. Let me rephrase that. I was lost. I was dead. I was dying. And only Jesus could set me free. And you were in the same place. You are that dead person. And without God reaching down and pulling you out of the junk, that's where you still are, right? And if you have been pulled out, a lot of times we don't recognize God as the king of the world. God is the one who offers everything. God is the Father who takes care of me. And we step back into sin in this imaginary world of our own control. Right? We step back and we want to be in charge. We want to control things. We want to be in charge of where we work, where we go to school, what we get paid, the family that we're in. And we try to control all these things. And God is going, I am the king of the universe. I am the one that is in charge. I am the one that holds all things together. And when we had read just before, it's hallowed be your name. It's this understanding of God being different than anything we could ever imagine. He is so much more than anything that we can imagine. When Jesus was walking on this earth, there's this story and Jesus is casting the demons out, right? And he asked the demons who he is, right? And what do they say to him? What do they say to him? they acknowledge him for who he is, right? You're the Holy One of God. They know who he is, and we say we know who he is, but we live our lives like we are the ones in control. We live our lives like we are the ones that can control the food that we have, the care that we're given, the stuff that we're given. We seek the bread from ourselves rather than the bread from heaven. Does that make sense? Everybody understand what I'm saying? When we try to be in control, we're doing it wrong. When we try to run at the helm, when we try to be the captain, we're doing it wrong, because God is the king of the world. He is different than us, and we are asking him, according to Jesus, what we should be asking God is, yes, you are different, you are set apart, we should have this recognition of who you are, but we should be in a place where we're going, Jesus, please today take care of me. Today take care of me. Not forever, which that's a weird thing to say because he's already pulled us out forever, but right now, this place on earth, God, give me today what I need. Give me this very moment what I need. And if I'm in this right relationship, if I'm in this right place where I recognize that God is the one in control, he is the one offering me the food that I need, he is the one that's offering me the hope that I need, what does that make my eyes do? It keeps my eyes on him. And then when I'm in a situation with somebody who doesn't know Jesus, my eyes are upon the Lord, and so I can speak that truth into that person, right? When somebody is complaining about, like, y'all haven't heard about the politics and the health issues, but I have. When somebody's discussing those things, it can lead me to a place where I go, I don't have to worry about that. Because God is in control of this situation. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit back and we act young and dumb and whatever. But we can understand what's going on, but we also can speak truth to a lost and dark world. I think that in our current situation in life, our current status, our current culture, people need some truth spoken to them. People need the truth of the gospel preached to them, because this world is lost and people are scared and people don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know how to behave. And here we are, the children of God, who recognize Jesus for who he is. We recognize God as being in control of the whole earth. And we're asking him today to lead us. Jesus, today guide me. Jesus, today offer me the bread of life. And when you're offering me this, can I offer it to other people? When this dark world begins to see some light and some truth, what begins to happen to the people? They change, right? The community has changed. The family has changed. The world around them has changed. Why? Not for my sake, but for the kingdom of God, whose name is hallowed above every other name, right? That's the area that we get to walk in. That's the area that we get to live in. The space we get to live is that, yes, I am the follower of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he allows me to be a part of his task. And I can preach his goodness and his truth to a lost and dying world. And when I get to do that, then other people get to see that hope, right? That's the goodness of what we are discussing here. And when we're begging Jesus, we're asking Jesus, or God, today, give me the daily bread that I need. Don't give me any more than I need. Just give me what I need for right now. Just take care of me right now. Does anybody in here ever get worried about the future at all? Anybody? Sorry, Noah, that just really struck me. Noah's hand got really high right there. Does anybody get worried about the future at all? Anybody? Like, it's hard, right? It's hard to not be concerned about what's going to happen in a year or 5 years or 6 years or 10 years. It's hard to see the future and not be concerned about it. But what we should be asking God is for right now. God, give me today my daily bread. Give me what I need right now. You give me what I need. I know you are a good father. I know you offer all these things to me. You're offering me hope. And Jesus, because of you, I can live my life well with my eyes focused upon you. And when we live like that, when we're in that place, I think it's a good place to be. If you jump back a couple of chapters, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil, right? Anybody remember that story? It's in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 also. We're gonna look at both real quick. But it says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Right? He wanted some of that bread. He wanted the tortillas at his table, right? He was hungry. And the tempter came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, and this is from the Old Testament. This is what he said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, I made this huge mistake when I was first married of like asking my wife for bread, right? Which was a weird situation for us. It was strange. But Jesus is telling us here, like, even something trivial like food, you don't have to worry about that. You don't even need to worry about food because there is so much more to this world than just food, right? Does anybody in here ever get hungry? Anybody? A couple of times I've been hungry in my life. When I went to Africa a few years ago, and I hate to bring up a story that was 21 years old, but okay, 21 years ago, I went to Africa, and we go to this place and we get dropped off. And these people teach us to count to like 10 in the native language. It's close to where Will and Gloria are at. They teach us to count to 10, and they said, we have to go back for a training session, and they left us there. They told us there would be a bread vendor on the corner, and we should be able to count to 5 and pay him 5 of whatever this is, and we should be able to get some bread, right? And so, like, we are in this weird place. We don't know anything. We don't know anybody. And we learn how to count to 10, and we got to go buy bread for, there were like four, I was an adult, I was 20, I was an adult taking care of high school students, and there were three other adults with me, and we knew how to count to 10 and buy bread for like 5-10 days when we first got to this place we've never been. This is all that we know how to do is buy bread for somebody, right? It's weird. Why bread? Why is bread the key phrase here? Because it's kind of everywhere, right? Like you can get a bread almost anywhere. Even when you're reading, there's a lot of stories about good bread, bad bread when you're reading in Scripture, and the little boy who Jesus borrowed the loaves and the fishes from, the type of bread that he had was like a poor person's bread when you read back in the historical terms. And so like bread is, it's always been here. It's always been around, and bread is easily available everywhere you go. And it's something that we use and we look for sustenance to maintain us so we can keep going, so we can get through the day. And Jesus is telling us that God cares about us so much that he wants us to even be asking him just for what I need right now. Jesus, please give me what I need right now. I don't need any more. I don't need any. I just need what I need for today. If you will give me what I need for today, I will keep my eyes upon you. I will run after you. I will be all in on your kingdom. Right? This is kind of what we're doing here. We're asking God to give us what we need, and he's going to provide so that we can honor him with our lives. We honor him. We live our lives following after him. People will be changed when we give respect to who he is. That song that we were singing just a couple minutes ago, you have no equal. You have no rival. This is, when I hear that song, that's what I'm seeing at the first start of this passage. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There is nobody else that compares to you. There is nothing else in this world that is as good as you. Nothing can compare to you. Jesus, you care about me and you want to offer me even the basic things of life. We are here. We are in this place. We're in this crazy political world. We're in this crazy health scare world. And Jesus is saying, keep your eyes focused upon me. Keep your eyes focused upon me. And if you will focus on me, I am going to provide for you. I am going to take care of you. Just like he did to the Israelites when they were pulled out into the wilderness, he took care of his people. Why? Because he loved them. Jesus loves us and he wants us to know him. He wants us to proclaim him for how good he is. He wants to take care of you and offer you what you need for today. And all of that starts with the very first question of an understanding of who he is and he is the king of the world. If he is the king of the world, then I can see him for what he is and I can follow him for what he is, right? And if we have that in place, we have that in our hearts, we've acknowledged him, we know that he is the king, then we want to ask him and beg of him, Jesus, give me today my daily bread, just what I need for right now. Give me what I need for right now because I want to be a light in this dark world. I want to be a shining beacon of hope for this world. When people are scared about politics, when people have been immersed in something on a social media website and they cannot get off of what they're seeing, God, may your light be bright enough to shine through and break into their hearts, right? That is what we should be begging for. That is what we should be asking for. Jesus, you are the king of the world. You are in charge. Hallowed be your name. You are better than anything I can even see. And you still want to take care of me and offer me bread. You want to take care of the little things in my life. The things that sustain me, but they're really not that important in the grand scheme of things, right? Jesus, you are in charge. And when we continually step out into our imaginary control, we are missing the point of who Jesus is and the point of this entire passage. Because when we put ourselves in that leadership, we are essentially saying, hallowed be my name. I think I'm in charge. So we have to step back and we have to honor God for who he is. We have to honor God for what he is. And if he is the king of the world, if he is in charge of everything, if all things are held in his hands, like we say when we're at church, right, in a Bible study, if all things are held in his hands, then hallowed be his name. Jesus, today, you offer me today what I need. Offer me bread. When Jesus repeats the Old Testament, what we just read a moment ago, he says, man doesn't just live on bread, right? Yeah, bread's an important part of life, but it's not everything. My word and my truth is where everything lies. And we have got to acknowledge God as that. And I think that for this world to see the hope and the light of Jesus, then the change has to start with us, right? The change doesn't start with the lost person who doesn't know him. Jesus, if you just change that person, just get them on the same political page as me, right? You ever pray like that? God, change that person. And God's going, I want you to be a light in their life. I want you to not argue with that person. I want you to be the truth, and I want you to speak his goodness and his kindness. Jesus, today, give us this day our daily bread. And when you're offering it to me, God, may I see it as such, and may I go out and proclaim that truth to this world. Jesus is better than everything. And he wants to take care of us. But not only does he want to take care of us in this room, he wants to take care of the people of earth, but they've got to see him for who he is. They can't see him for who he is when we don't live in that right reverence to who he is. Does that make sense? Jesus is better than everything. Hallowed be your name, God. But give me today my daily bread. I don't need anything more. I don't need anything less. I need today what you need to give me. And may I be that light in this world. Does that make sense? Is that fair? I'm going to pray in just a minute. And I think that that all of us, when we're reading this passage of Scripture, have a lot of ways to go. I think Chris last week said that this was described by Luther as a fearful prayer, right? If we are begging God to be in charge, if we are asking him to be in charge, and for him to offer us today what we need, be careful, because he's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. Chris shared the story last week, the disciples, right? Peter came out, right? Knocked at the door, right? And they were astonished at what happened. But when we begin to pray, when we begin to ask God to give us what we need for today, he's going to do it. But there's no better place than being in that position where we acknowledge God for who he is and what he is. Jesus, today, give us our daily bread. May we be a light in this dark world. I'm going to pray for us, and I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to take away what is in your heart, what is holding you back from recognizing God as who he is, and pray that God would begin to offer you today what you need. Pray that God would pull away the imaginary control that we think we have, Pull me out of that position, God, and let me put you there and let me step back and revere you. All right, I'm going to pray, and I'd like to ask you to stand. Jesus, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for allowing us to come into this place. We thank you that that you offer us scriptures to teach us more about you, to train us more about who you are, to show us more of your face in this lost world, God. We are in a world that is scary and chaotic and crazy, and God, sometimes that makes us fearful, and we pray that you would strip that fear away. We pray that you would take away all the things inside of us where we want to be in control, take away our own perceived control, God, and let us place you in the charge. God, let us place you in leadership in our lives, God. Please change our lives and offer us today what we need, God. May we focus upon you. May we see you as the King of the world. And God, give us today what we need. May this small church, may this small community in Midwest City be a place where your light shines. In our families, in our work lives, God, may this place be a place where your kingdom is made great. God, we beg that you would do great things through us. Not for our sake. This passage is telling us so that you are the King of Kings, so that you are hallowed, God. May you be the God of the universe in all things that we do. And may we live a life that shows that we believe that. God, change our hearts today. That's your name.